Kids, you want to come on down the front? Come on down. Now, hey, good to see you. Good to see you. And you brought a friend. This your friend? It's your sister. She's not your friend. She's just your sister. Got it. All right. How you going, Mighty Elijah? You good? You like the haircut? Can you grab those on that chair for me? Save me walking over with my old legs. Yep, both torches. And that, yep. Yeah, they're... Yeah, very good. All right. And can you grab me that little mug too, please? How many we got today? I love it when I do this. No, don't say what's in there. All right, yes, there's money in the tin. So any more kids want to come down the front? All right. Here we go. We've got a few more. Oh, yeah, here we go. All right. Okay, excellent. How are you kids doing? Very good, very good. How are the guys in the back row? You guys are good? Yep, you good? You figured out who I am yet, Jono? Yep, you got it. Good man. Excellent. All right. Lizzie, am I George or Donnie? Ah, very good, very good. You didn't fall for that one? No, not even close? No, hey, you're very smart. Did you start school this year? Woohoo! How cool is that? Grade 4. Oh, Michaela's teaching grade 4. Grade 2. I spent a few years in grade 2. It's a good year. I like it down there. All right. Who would like to receive some money today? Who's keen on receiving some money? Oh, you're not sure about receiving some money. All right. Yep, he's receiving some money. All right. Let's see how we go. I have got some money here. If you want to receive this money, you need to come up to me and take it from my hand. If you want to receive this money, you need to come and take it. Okay. Take it gently. Just one. That's it. There you go. That's it. Very good. Take one. That's it. Just come in and take it. Very good. There you go. Take that. Yep, you can have that one. There you go. Oh, you brought your cars. They're pretty cool. Grab one. There we go. Good boy. You guys at the back, you want to come and get one? I've got some other ones here. You can take a pretty silver one or a gold one. There we go. Yep, the gold ones are going. There we go. All right, anyone else? Anyone miss out? Anyone else want to receive? All right. Okay, now you've got some money now. You've just received some money. Now you have the power to do something with that, don't you? You can, A, when you go up to Frogs, you can put that into the tin and give it towards sponsorship of the child that we sponsor as a children's ministry, or you can take it home and put it in that tin that your parents have put aside for your university studies, or you can put it in the tin for your first car, or you can spend it on other stuff, all right? But that's... Pokemon, okay. So that you receive that. Now, what you do with that is up to you. But I've given you some ideas on what you can do with it, okay? So that's your money. You have received it. You came and you took it out of my hand. And it's yours to do with you want. All right, next one. You ready for this? Now, these are torches. As much as Elijah said they weren't torches, they are torches. Yep. Yes. All right, so with this torch, is it working? Why isn't it working? I didn't turn it on. Oh, yes, very good. Okay. If I turn it on, that is bright. So is it on now? It's working. So what does that mean? That the power has been switched on? Yes. So it works. It's pretty bright, hey? And this one's so cool. Look at this. That's a light one. So you don't blind yourself. Gotcha. Can you catch it? Who can catch it? Here we go. We can play this game for ages. Here we go. Oh, it's gone. All right. Okay, this one. You ready? Is it on? No. It's off. I haven't turned it on. Okay, ready? You ready? I turned it on. Is it working?
No.
It's got batteries. So why isn't it working? The batteries have run out of power. Ah, very clever. Well done. Or, can you hear that? Should your torch sound like that? How about this torch? Does it sound like that? No. So what could it have? Only one battery. It's got a battery missing, so it hasn't got all the power it needs to work. All right? So interesting, isn't it? See, nothing I can do doesn't work. You could buy me a battery. You could. You could. Or I could just grab the one on my desk and put it in at the end. Oh, you think that would be similar? Close, maybe. All right. Now, today in Big Church, we're going to be looking at receiving and power and how it works in our lives and how it relates to God. But in your children's ministry time up in Frogs, you're going to have a great time with a great bunch of teachers up there. And I'm just going to pray for you as you head on up. Now, remember that coin that you got, that's up to you. You can use that however you want. You have received it, and it's yours to use. You can use it in the offering, as I said, or you can take it towards something else, the university studies down the track. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our precious children. We thank you for them and pray that you watch over them. Give them a great time right now, we pray. And may they just experience your goodness and your joy. And watch over their teachers. Be with them all. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. All right, up you go. Have a great morning. As you heard today, we're continuing to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. We're going to bore down into it, as I said last week, and we're going to look at it and unpack it and see what it says to us. Now, just before we get to verse 4, we see that Jesus has been spending 40 days with the disciples. Now, the commentary writers go backwards and forwards, whether it's the 11 disciples or the 120 disciples. I probably am of the opinion you probably don't need to argue one or the other. I reckon over those 40 days, there was times with the 11. There was probably some one-on-one time with Peter and a couple of the others that needed that one-on-one time. You can imagine that, couldn't you? Yeah. Or it would have been the 120. They certainly met together for food and for times of fellowship. The eating and teaching around food, Jesus was one of the first to get that up and going. It's not a new thing that we've discovered in the new church planning and development of bells and that sort of stuff. Jesus was doing it from the very, very early days. And so these guys got together and 40 days of teaching, training, and equipping. Who'd like to have 40 days with Jesus just alone with teaching, training, equipping, just in all these things? The kingdom of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that'd be pretty cool sort of training, wouldn't it? Just to be sitting with Jesus. Matthew Henry says that this time with the disciples was the Sermon on the Mount expanded over 40 days. And I'm going to put in, it was the Sermon on the Mount on steroids. You know, it was just amazing teaching. Teaching them all about the kingdom of God and the things that went into it. It's like a 40-day school with Jesus. Then he gets to this point, and he gets together. Now, the NIV very says on one occasion while he was eating with them. Is that correct, NIV people? All right, anyone got New King James? Any New King James disciples in the house? Yes. What's the New King James say? All right, being assembled together with them. When you go down into the Greek words that are used in there, the Greek word actually means when they are gathered together and when they were most probably eating. So one of them brings through the eating element and the other one is assembled together. So it was most probably both that Jesus was doing these sort of things again and again and again. But the main thing was Jesus was with them and they were all together in one place. And he comes together and he says to them, does he say it to them or does he, what's the word? He commands them. He commands them. How many of you picture Jesus, meek and mild, peaceful, as commanding? He is commanding, isn't he? Just his very presence, I think, would be commanding. But the word that Luke writes here is that he commanded them. In other words, he gave great emphasis and great force behind these next words that he was going to say. So we need to listen, amen? If he's talking to them and he's commanding them, this is something of great importance. So what is it that Jesus commands? The first thing he says is, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave. Is that an easy thing for him to do? What's happening at Jerusalem at this time? They've just had 40 days with Jesus, so that's been pretty cool. But he says, don't leave. all around them is a bit of turmoil. There's still be stuff going on, but they got to stay there. It might be easier to disappear to the boating and the fishing and all that sort of stuff. Go back to what we know, but Jesus is saying, stay here. Just stay here. And then he says that next word, which I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at. And he says, wait. Wait. Now we know, those that have read forward, that the ascension is just a couple of verses down the page. And we know that the Pentecost doesn't happen for another 10 days. So they waited for 10 days. 10 days waiting. Waiting, gathering together in the upper room, waiting. No longer Jesus with them. No longer Jesus there teaching them about the kingdom of God. No longer him inspiring just by his very presence. Waiting. Oh, I would have been terrible. I would have been terrible. Just hanging around, just being with my mates. And he says, but wait. And what are we to wait for? The gift that my Father has promised and which I told you about. And the gift, he says, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, did Jesus tell him about this? Did Jesus actually say that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, if we look in two passages that I want to give you today, because we've got limited time, Luke 24, verse 49, and John 14, 25 to 26, are both verses where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit coming into the disciples' lives. The one in John 14, 25, 26 is the very famous one where it's the comforter. When I leave you, I will send another, and he will be a comforter to you, and he will give you the words that you need to say. He will be guiding you, and he'll be with you. It's that part again. John the Baptist, however, is very forthright in what is going to happen here in Acts chapter 1 through to Acts chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, in Mark 1, verse 8, in Luke 3, 16, in John 1, 33, John the Baptist is recorded in all of those saying, and I'm paraphrasing it because it's said differently in all those four Gospels, behold, there is another coming. I will baptize you in water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. There's two things there. It said Holy Spirit and in fire. And then John the Baptist in some of the ones goes on and says, this one who's coming, I'm not even worthy to do this, the tying up of his sandals. Whoa. How unworthy have you got to be to tie up someone's sandals on their feet? He's not even good enough to do that. So he's talking about this someone coming is incredibly special, but he's going to be the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So when we use this picture, John the Baptist was baptizing, right? So he was the one grabbing people and putting them under the water. So he was doing the baptism. Is that correct? So he was the one that did the baptism. If you went down to the water, John the Baptist grabbed you and he'd push you down into the water. I don't know what wording he would have said. I'm not sure it's the same that we use today because we didn't have baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist probably didn't use that phrase. It was a baptism of repentance. So John the Baptist is doing it, and here he says, Jesus is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the next part is talked about here is the Father's promise. The Father's promise. The Old Testament prophecies. I know most of the Old Testament prophecies point to Jesus. If you look through the Old Testament prophecies, everything's pointing to Jesus coming to the cross. And if you could talk about the Old Testament prophecies being that, in the New Testament, it's about the Holy Spirit coming and moving in amongst our lives. Two very powerful passages that we know about, or rather the Father's promise, re the Holy Spirit, is Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. I will pour out my Spirit on all people, the young and the old. All right? My brothers and my sisters, they will see dreams and they'll have visions. It's an amazing pouring out. Isaiah chapter 44 and chapter 32, amazing texts around pouring out of the Spirit. There's also many parts where God, through a prophecy, through the Old Testament prophets, would talk about, and I'll take away the heart of stone, and I'll put back a heart of flesh, and I will write my laws on their heart, and it'll just flow. It won't be an outer coming in. It'll be an inner work of my presence, my Spirit, that will flow. And that's the Old Testament prophecies coming through. And so here we have Jesus talking about what the Father promised, what he has said, and then there's this little bit about John the Baptist talking about this being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I don't know about you, but I think the disciples took him off task for a little bit there. I think they're throwing a little bit of a curveball at Jesus. But I love Jesus' answer. I actually wish I had known this when I was in my fourth year of theology at Bible College, when the Reverend Dr. David Parker, we used to call him DP, got up in front of us and said, okay, this next semester we're going to study eschatology. We're going to be looking at it for the whole next 6 months. I wish I could have said what Jesus said here. He says, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set about this in his own authority. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. We all think Joe Bajelke Peterson came up with that line. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry. I got it under control. But Jesus says to them, because they're saying, when's it all going to happen? When's we going to get the kingdom back? When is it the end times? And Jesus says, don't worry about that. Don't stress about it. It's not for you to know. The Father knows. And by the way, he hasn't even told me. Don't worry. Get on and do the work that God's called you to do. And then he says, next line, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's amazing, isn't it? But you will receive power. Now let me just do a little bit of a word study here as we delve down a little bit here. The word receive. Now for those of my Greek esteemed scholars amongst us, my apologies up front, because I'm going to pronounce some of these words that are probably not quite correct, but I'm doing the best I can. Now the word receive is lambano, and it means exactly what I did with the kids, to take. To take. The kids with the money was right there in front of them. But for them to receive what I had for them, they had to reach out and take it. It's theirs, but there was an action on their part. And so when it says you will receive, the word there is this little word, lambano. And the Thayer's definition of it says to take with the hand, to lay hold of any person or thing in order to use it. So when they had the money, that money was then theirs, and it was up to them how they used it. It could end up in the offering plate upstairs. It could end up down at the local shop buying lollies. I apologize to the mums and dads if it goes that way. It could go into their university fund for down the track, or it could just go into their pocket and sit there for quite a while. And it's this way that talks about it, to take it in, to own, to admit, to receive what is offered. And I believe the Father, through the Son, offers the Holy Spirit. And the next part it says, and you will receive power. Now many of us already know what the word power is, don't we? Dunamis. Dunamis. Now I've used this word before. You've heard it. There was a church down where I last ministered, down in Carbrook, Logan City. It was called Dunamis. The church was called Dunamis. A guy I went to school with, well, he went to a different school. We went to school at the same time at different schools. He was the pastor of that church, and the kids at the school that I was working at used to call Dunamis Dunny Mass, as Aussie kids would, wouldn't they? So I kept trying to correct them that it was Dunamis and it meant power, and they didn't like that idea, so they went with their translation. But it's Dunamis, and it says strength, power, and ability. An inherent power, a power residing in a person by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Power for performing miracles. Moral power and excellence of soul. The power and influence which belong to the riches and wealth. Power and resources arising. Power consisting in or resting upon forces. So when Jesus says you will receive power, he's talking about something that is incredible, to do a lot more. And I wonder for myself, let alone for us as a church, how much of this dunamis we receive, How much of this dunamis do we take hold of that God has for us in the working of his inherent power in and through our own lives, in the area of performing miracles, in the area of ministering into people's lives, in the area of seeing transformation take place? I wonder. Next word I want to go into a little bit is the word witness. Now, this one I really enjoyed as I get into it. Martus is the Greek word for witness. Martus. Hopefully I'm getting that phonetic pretty close. And with this, it said a witness. A witness is in three different areas. One, a legal sense. So when James talked to us about communion and taking it on and then going, there's that sense that, hey, we've got a responsibility. There is something unknown in this that could break through into people's lives, a legal sense. B, an historical sense. I'm going to share with you some historical stuff in a minute about what God has been doing in and through my life, which is historical, but it is also that witness to share people with that story. Also with the historical sense is the one who is a spectator, one who is seeing, one who is understanding. The next one is the ethical sense. Isn't that interesting? To be a witness in the area of ethics. We as the church have a lot to do within our community in the area of where ethics are. Here's the little bit of blurb on it. It says, those who after his example have proved the strength and genuineness of their faith in Christ by undergoing the violent death on the cross, changed and transformed in the area of our ethics. So that's just a few words that I've mined down into in this passage. But it's important, and we're going to spend a lot more time on going through this passage in that area. But I want to share with you three stories in my own personal life about the Holy Spirit coming and entering into my life. First story I want to tell you is the 30th of July, 1978. It was a balmy evening at Cav Road High School. It was a Saturday night. And it was the night that I went forward and gave my life to Jesus. On that night, it was sensational. It was emotional. The guy who prayed for me cried. He'd been praying for me for 3 years. He was at my school. He knew me by my nickname and by my reputation. I was in grade 10. He was in grade 12. And one of the people on his hit list, in those days we had hit lists. Anyone ever had a hit list? People you were praying for to get saved? Yeah? No? Okay, well, we did that. And he had a hit list, and I was number one on his hit list. And so when he got to pray for me, he cried. And there were people all down the front crying, and it was an emotional time. There was something significant that was going on. And I'll tell you, there's something significant happened in my life. I don't know what it was. I can't put it into words or set, but I know I was changed from the inside out. I know there was something happening. I know God was doing something that was real and powerful in my life. It was something incredibly tangible. So much so that the following week when I went to Boys Brigade, I said to the Boys Brigade captain, I want to share the devotions. He looked at me and went, no way am I letting you near the devotions in this group. And I said, no, you can trust me. I'll do the devotions. No, I know you. You'll muck it up. You'll do something wrong. And I said, no, trust me. I don't trust you. And then one of the guys who was there with me on that Saturday night said, it's okay, said my nickname. He got saved last week. I reckon he'll do good. And the Boys Brigade captain, with fear and trepidation, gave me the responsibility of taking devotions that night. And it was good. There was something that happened. The Holy Spirit had got hold of this little brat of a kid and started to do some work. Even my mates at school noticed there was a difference. I only swore half as much as I did the week before. But there was a transformation taking place from the inside out. The next one was 1985, down in Tasmania. Yes, I had two heads for some years. I lived in a beautiful country, or area of our country, and I had a lot of fun with a lot of people. One of the nights the church I belonged to was a Church of Christ church down in Tasmania. I went to a few other different churches, but this is the one I had my feet at. And I went along one night to a guy called David Pawson. He was speaking. Some of you might remember David Pawson. He was speaking on being baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I went, yeah. And the more he preached, the more I got excited. The more he shared about the Holy Spirit coming in and invading our lives and quoting from Watchman Nee and all these different things, I'm going, yes, 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 I want more of that. But when he talked about the fire, I went, yeah, the fire of God. And he had all these great analogies of fiery chariots from the Old Testament and all these different things, Elijah and the fire that came down. And so when he gave the challenge, I didn't walk down the front. I ran down the front. I was first up. And before he'd even finished the challenge, he looked at me and went, what are you doing down here, young man? I want the fire. And he went, anyone else? And the whole place just went, poof. We had a hallelujah time. It went through the roof. This conservative little Church of Christ boy had a great time. I got a bit of the fire in me. It was amazing. Now, that night, I didn't pray in tongues. I didn't heal the sick. I didn't raise the dead. But there was another step in my life where God was starting to take hold and do something more. And throughout my life, there have been many, many more occasions like that where the Holy Spirit is just boom, 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 just exploding more and more in and through my life. One that happened incredibly recently, and I'm going to see how I get through this one. This is going to be a little bit hard. The 16th of January, 3 weeks ago tomorrow, it had been a very busy start to the year. A whole bunch of stuff was happening. And I said, Lord, I need to spend some time with you. So I went to one of my favourite prayer spots down by the beach near Kiwana Surf Club. And I just sat there. And I prayed through our prayer list that we have in the newsletter. And I prayed for people on our leadership team. And I prayed into the area of the youth pastor. And I kept praying and kept praying. And in the middle of all this praying, I would stop and say, Lord, I need more of you in my life. I just need more of you. And as I kept praying, and I just texted people saying I just prayed for them, and it was just an amazing time. And the time was just being consumed. And I looked down at my watch, and it was like 8 o'clock, and I've gone, oh, I got to get to work. I got to get to work. And God just said, no, no, stay. This is work. Let me do some work here. And I stayed on, and I stayed on, and I was there till 9 o'clock. And the more I stayed, the more it was as if the presence of God was just coming down upon me in a greater way of anointing. I don't know what people thought when they walked past me, because there were people going down to the beach and back. Gee, this guy's got the silly smile on his face. I reckon he's got some of that marijuana slipped away somewhere. And it was just an amazing time just sitting there in God's presence and letting him fill me anew. And I went home excited, very excited. There was a few challenges in my life that week. The next day I had to put my dog down. He'd been with us for 15 years. Real part of the family. End of that week, we got the news that Kim wasn't doing well. And it was tough. But I tell you what, in amongst all that, there was this sense of God's strength and power to get me through all these times. And when I was with people, not many knew of the tough stuff that I was going through. Every now and then I got like this. But most of the time was just the Holy Spirit working, coming out from that infilling, as it were, in that Monday morning, to be able to do what God had called me to do. You will receive power to be my witnesses amongst your family, amongst your friends, and amongst the community. In and through those hard times, it was incredible, the opportunity to share. This last week has been another challenge, culminated in a fantastic gathering on Friday afternoon, saying farewell to Kim. And thank you to all those that came and joined in with that. Just even in that, it was amazing meeting some incredible people. I can tell you right now, I have a friend who is a Territorian now. And she told me some amazing stories about her life out in the Northern Territory. The places that she lives, the things she's experienced. It was amazing sitting and listening to her stories. I've also met some other Victorians, James. And they're good people too. No. And the amazing thing was, they're from Victoria, and I don't recall talking about Aussie rules with them at all. But they're good people. I even hugged one of them 4 times in one day. She'd never hugged the pastor 4 times in one day either, so it was a record for her as well. But they're good people, and you get to meet them, and there's this connection. And I don't know about you, but I can only put that down to the work of God's Spirit bringing that connection. How can you meet with someone in 5 minutes and then them have them tell you their story? That's not a normal thing. That's a God thing. In and through our lives, I believe God is on a mission with each of us. He's got something in store for you and for me that is just amazing. And a lot of it may be just incredible chats and conversations where you get to share. Where you get to share a story, your story, an event in your life where God has come through and done something that is just amazing. You will receive power to be God's witnesses in and through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Do you want to receive that power? And reach out, grab it. Say, Lord, I need more of you in my life. I need more of you. Fill me and you with your Holy Spirit. Enable me, Lord God, where I'm not able, because that's what God wants to do. If you think, oh, I can't possibly do that, well, you know what? You can't. You can't. I had a little lady come and see me Friday afternoon, and she was from my old church, and she said, oh, do you remember me? And I went, no. She said, oh, I'm from your old church at Calvary. And I went, oh, okay. No. She said, I remember you. You used to have a lot of hair. And then she said, we miss you down there, and the old guys pray for you. Thank you. Just connecting with people. Let's pray. Father God, you are indeed a good God. And you come through with your promise. And you have promised for us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you said we will receive power and you will pour it out on us and we will be your witnesses. And Father, I want to be your witness. I want to be a witness to the goodness of God in my life in this house. I want to be a witness to the goodness of God in and through my community, with my neighbors, with people at the surf club, with the fat boys. Lord, I want to be a witness to the greatest state of Queensland, and I'll go wherever you send me, Lord God. Oh, Father, fill us anew with the Holy Spirit. Where we are tired, refresh us. Where we are burnt out, Lord God, renew us. Where we have fear and doubt, Lord God, fill us with your love and faith that we may be on your mission. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen. If you would like myself or James to pray for you for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, then I would love to pray with you. Love to pray with you. If you've got someone next to you that you want them to pray for you, then just grab them. You don't need anyone special down the front to pray for you, but I'd love to pray for you. But you just grab people near you and say, hey, I could do with a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit right now, so could you pray for me? And just minister to one another, because God has called us to minister to one another, to be his hands and feet. But if you'd like me to, I'd love to pray with you. That'd be really sweet. God bless you. Thank you for joining with us today.